We appreciate the privilege that we have to come to your place where you can attend this gospel broadcast. We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, the book of John, chapter number 10. And before we get started, let me apologize to the peoples of the Lord that are used to receiving the daily light scriptures. We are at present knocked off of email, and we're working on it there at the house, trying to get back on. But we will, Lord willing, when we get the internet problem straightened out there at the house, we will be sending you out the daily light once again. All right, John chapter 10, beginning with verse number 7, is where we'll start reading. Our text cometh, that's part of the lesson title. Our text comes from verse number 10, the thief cometh, the thief cometh, John 10:10. But to start our reading, we will start off with John chapter 10 and verse number 7, John 10:7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. All that ever came as such as the door of the sheep, imitating me, they were thieves and robbers. There's our word, thieves. Now, robbery is when people break in and take things by force. Thieving is when they steal it quietly and secretly and try to make sure that you don't know who it was that stole it. So there's a difference between robbers and thieves. But he said those that try to imitate him and came before him were both thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. God is good to us, dear soul. He gives us two things that are effectual in every born-again believer: hearing ears and following feet. He said, they know my voice, and another they will not follow. So we thank the Lord that God has fixed us with an effectual opportunity to know and follow the Lord. Verse number 8, John 10:8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Two privileges of those who know that Christ is the door and make access into the kingdom by him. Number one, they shall be saved. You come in by Jesus Christ, you are born again, God will keep you, and you shall go in and out and find pasture to your soul. You shall have the liberty of knowing how to walk with God in your life. Now, verse number 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's all he does. He's focused on stealing, killing, and destroying. You can't distract him. He will not be distracted. That's what he loves to do. That's what he wants to do. That's all that he is concerned about. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. Now, in comparison to that, Jesus sets himself forth. I am come that they might have life, they shall be saved, and shall have it more abundantly, shall go in and out and find pasture. So we understand and see that the Lord Jesus Christ is setting forth for you the epitome of evil. Can't do, won't do, will always steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus always will and sets himself forth as the epitome of glory and of goodness and of redemption. I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, the word thief in verse number 10 comes from the word translated steal in verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal. The word steal, the Greek word steal that is used there is the mother of the word thief. So they go together. Now, that's all they want to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I was looking at the Gospel of John when I said that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Let me show you something that makes you understand the personality and the determination of the thief. Jesus said, he cometh not but for. This is the only reason he comes. You need to understand this. And listen, here's what he doesn't know. He's focused on killing and stealing and destroying. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Talking about the gospel. Verse number 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why are you reading that? To show you that they have no understanding, no interest, no perception, no discernment about anything else. They come to not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. They don't have any awareness of the purposes of God in the gospel because they're focused on these things, stealing, killing, and destroying. Now, I wanted to know why there are so many mass shootings in America. Suddenly, I guess it's suddenly, it's been going on for a while, but I mean, it's just lately in my life, in my lifetime, that these mass shootings have come forth. So I looked this up and it said, the thief cometh not but to kill. So I'm looking at the working of the devil and God's uses of him to bring these things about because this nation has turned its back on God. In Matthew chapter number 21, Matthew 21, in verse number 13, he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Does that surprise you? Where do we find the thief? In church. The verse prior to that, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now he tells them why he did that. You have made my father's house a den of thieves. And the thief cometh not but to steal and kill and destroy. The most detrimental thing to your soul is to believe a lie. Satan knows that. He has come forth to lie, to steal and kill souls and destroy them. Lying will damn your soul, or believing in the devil's lies will damn your soul quicker and more powerfully than anything else. You have made my father's house a den of thieves. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 4. The man of sin is revealed, verse 3. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above God, who exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Den of thieves, where are they? You made my father's house a den of thieves. They're in the church. They're in organized religion. 2 Thessalonians 2, 4 tells you that. The book of the Revelation, chapter 2, and verse number 9, as Jesus speaks to the church of Ephesus, are you going to believe this? Listen. And I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Religion comes to house the thief, who comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And so in bringing forth lies from organized religion, he can kill souls eternally. But it's manifesting itself by men coming forth to shoot and kill as many human beings as they can in our nation. Verse 13, Revelation 2, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in these days where Antipas was, my faithful martyr who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Wow. This is Christ talking to the church of Ephesus. And he says, you become the synagogue of Satan, verse number 9. And in verse number 13, he said, Antipas was martyred among you, but you're there where Satan dwelleth. And we read you in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Who put Jesus on the cross? All right. Jesus, the epitome of the perfect, spotless, holy, spiritual man. Who put Jesus on the cross? The religious man. Isn't that amazing? The religious man will always go after and try to destroy the spiritual man, try to put that light out. Now, I went online and looked up Gun Violence Archive out of Washington, D.C. It's a group called Gun Violence Archive, and they said from January the 1st of this year just through February the 15th of this year, there were 72 mass shootings in America. Can you believe that? From January the 1st through February the 15th, 72 mass shootings in America, 104 Americans killed just in that length of time, but 278 wounded. So 72 mass shootings, I'm just talking about January the 1st through February the 15th of this year. According to Gun Violence Archive, located in Washington, D.C., they put this online and they listed out by state and by how many got killed and how many was wounded, and you can look at it and see it as they list it all out and lay it out for you. 72 mass shootings from January the 1st through February the 15th, 104 killed, 278 wounded. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan hates human beings. Luke chapter 22. The book of Luke chapter 22. And verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired. Stop right there. We'll read the rest of the verse in just a minute. But this is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Creator God, who knows all things and is in control of all things and is sovereign over all beings. If you can receive it, and most people can't, but the devil is God's servant. And Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the sovereign Lord over all things, the one whose name is above every name in this world and in the worlds to come, is telling you what is the desire in the heart of Satan. Here it is. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, talking to Simon Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. What is the only deterrent for that? The mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear soul, if Jesus Christ was not on the throne praying for us, we would all be dead by now. Satan would have every one of us in hell by now. Satan hates human beings, but especially those who have been singled out by God to be involved in the ministry of the gospel. Verse number 32. But I have prayed for thee. What is the deterrent for Satan being able to kill and steal and destroy? The prayers and intercession of Jesus Christ. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when you art returned, that's what it means, when you are turned again, strengthen thy brethren. I'm not going to stop Satan from doing what he is wanting to do, but I'm going to pray for you that while Satan does what he wants to do, you will not fail in your faith. What happened? Judas went out and hanged himself, but what happened? Peter went out and wept bitterly. Both Judas and Peter denied the Lord. And we don't have any record that Jesus ever prayed for Judas. He said, have not I chosen you, and one of you is the devil, or is a devil? So there was no intercession for Judas, and he goes out and hangs himself, and he falls forth, and his bowels gush out, and they use the pieces of silver that he came and threw them on the table and said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they used it to buy a field, and they buried the paupers in that. That's all the good that ever came out of Judas. Homeless people had a place to be buried. But the Bible said, Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So what happened? Did Satan get to him? Yes. Did he deny the Lord? Yes. Same as Judas. But what was the difference between Peter and Judas? I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Dear soul, it must needs be that temptations and trials come. But woe unto him by whom the trial comes. Jesus said it must needs be. We must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14 and verse 22. So tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope, and hope causes the love of God to be shed abroad in our heart. Temptation is a good thing when mediated by the Lord Jesus Christ, so that his intercessory prayers will strengthen our faith, so that we might endure the thing and be brought forth out of that fiery furnace and be more pure, and all the dross be burned off, and we'll be in better shape. He didn't pray for Judas. The devil is still the devil. Did the devil want to do to Peter the same thing he did to Judas? Yes. Why? Because I read you, the thief cometh not but to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to destroy you all. This all the reason that me and you are not in hell this morning or today, whenever you're watching this, is because Jesus Christ has interceded for us. I love that passage, Romans, what is it, chapter 8? I think it is. I hope it is. Yep, Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. While you are living in this world, Christian, the Holy Spirit is communing with God the Father on the throne with things that are unutterable as far as language is concerned, as far as human language is concerned. But it's not as far as God's communication and conversation is concerned, because they're groanings from the Spirit to the Father for your behalf. Going down to verse number 34, Romans 8, 34. Who is he that condemneth? There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 1. Romans 8, 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Wow! Think about all that. That's going on for you, Christian. Who can condemn you? They can't, because Christ died for you. They can't, because he's risen again. He's not a dead Savior. People walk around with these crucifixes, chains on their neck, and they say, oh, look how holy and how spiritual we are. You're not if you got a dead God. Listen, I serve a risen Savior, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. He not only risen out of the earth, but he's ascended back to God from whence he came, who also maketh intercession for us. Did he die for you? Yes. Did he rise again? Yes. Has he ascended to God? Yes. Then number four is true too. He is interceding for you. And that's the only reason Satan can't get to you and Satan can't destroy you, is because Jesus Christ is interceding for us. Isn't that good? 72 mass shootings in a month and a half. 104 people dead. They just went to Walmart. They just went to work. They just went to the post office to put up the mail like they'd always done. They were not suspecting that that day would see them in eternity before night fell. But the devil had a different mindset. How was he able to do it? Because that's what he does. The thief cometh. Who is the thief? The devil. What is it that he's focused on? Stealing, killing, destroying. What do we have to keep us safe? Well, certainly not the police force, and certainly not the Constitution of the United States, and certainly not the Congress. And certainly not our own ability to arm ourselves. America has more guns than any nation under the sun. But we're still having 104 people shot down in cold blood in a month and a half just in this year alone. Dear Christian, I'm going to tell you something. You're living in a dangerous time. You are living in a dangerous time. Let me show you something. Did we finish reading that Luke 22? Yes. I have prayed for thee, Luke 22, 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm not going to fail you. Jesus said, you don't know yourself like I know you. The next verse, and he, Jesus, said unto him, I tell thee, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me. When does the cock crow? In the morning. Before the day has even got hot, before the sun has risen to its full force, you will have denied me three times. You don't know yourself. You don't know what you're capable of, or rather, you don't know what you're incapable of. Christian, we can do nothing without him. We are totally and 100% committed and cast upon the person of Jesus Christ. He alone is our help and our strength. He alone is our salvation. And we thank the Lord that it is so, because the devil despises Christians, especially. He despises human beings, but he especially despises Christians. 1 Peter 5:8. Let me keep reading some verses that show you the characteristics of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, he's not God's adversary, he's God's servant. He's going to do what God wants him to do. He will serve the Lord, even though he's total wickedness. Judas did not betray Christ in order that you might be saved. Judas betrayed Christ for the money. He didn't do it for the glory of God. Satan does not kill and steal and destroy because he's a good old boy and he's working for the Lord. No, he's filthy. He's violent. He's wretched. He's an abomination. He's the height of evil and wickedness. But God in his sovereignty uses him for his own good. But you don't have any power over the devil. The only one you know of that you can have cry out to help you and to keep you safe is Jesus Christ. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Jesus said in John 15:5, you can do nothing without me. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. That's what I told you. The devil is focused upon killing and stealing and destroying. He didn't know anything about the wisdom of God in the crucifixion. Had the princes of this world known this, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Oops, you kill one too many. He was perfect. He was sinless. Now you're in trouble. You got to count for the life you took that did not owe anything to God by sin. The wages of sin is death. You're right. But Satan made Jesus pay for that which he had not done. He had to restore that which he did not take away. So the devil got one too many. But be sure of this. He walketh about, he has liberty, seeking whom he may, and he has to have permission from God, may devour. That's what he wants to do, to devour human beings. Revelation 12 and verse number 10. The book of the Revelation, chapter 12 and verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. When Satan is cast out into the earth in verse number 9 at the cross, Jesus defeated him and he said, it is finished, it is done, John 19:30. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. And the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. Satan does not take a break. Satan does not take a lunch hour. Satan does not go on vacation. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy continuously, never lets up, continuously focused upon those evils. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can handle him, and he did at the cross, and he cast down the accuser of our brethren. He said, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth our brethren before our God day and night. Zechariah chapter 3, the book of Zechariah chapter 3. And verse number 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest, not Joshua the guy that took Moses' place. This is another time, another day. And this high priest happened to be named Joshua. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, that phrase genuinely, usually meant the person of the eternal Son of God. Standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing. There's two people standing right there with Joshua, the high priest. Number one, the angel of the Lord. Number two, Satan standing at the right hand to resist him. Dear soul, you do not set out on a determination to walk with Christ, but only that you have another person that has come to attend to you and to accuse you day and night before the Lord, and coming to steal and kill and destroy, and coming to sift you as wheat. Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. You will not have Christ's prayer that the devil will not bother you. That may hurt your feelings. And you may also be upset with those people who say, you know, Satan can't bother me. You know, I'm one of God's children. Well, you may be one of God's children, but dear soul, Satan can bother you. Satan can bother you. And it will be the Lord's determination to allow him to bother you according to that which God has in his purpose for you. You will be tempted not above that you are able. God mitigates your temptation. God mitigates your onslaught by the devil according to that which he hath given you ability. But we see Zechariah 3:1, Joshua the high priest standing there fixing to get his high priestly garments put on. Two eternal spiritual agents were standing there, the angel of God speaking of the prefiguring of the Lord Jesus Christ prior to his incarnation, and Satan. What was Satan standing there to do? He was at his right hand to resist him. You can be sure, dear soul, that because you have not been shot and murdered in this time period of the ungodly murder of individuals, especially Americans that we're looking at, it is because God has been taking care of you and keeping you safe. Now, I want you to go with me to John chapter 17 and verse number 15. I want to go ahead and give you right now exactly why this is going on. I want to tell you why there are mass shootings in America when, as early in my lifetime, I didn't even know what that was. Early in my lifetime, the only people I knew that had a gun was those that I went to the movies on Saturday morning, and they had them in their holsters riding their favorite horse, cowboys. That's the only people I knew had guns. Never had heard of anybody having. I wasn't around anybody that had guns. Finally, after I got to be a teenager, my uncle that lived out on the Big Springs Road in LaGrange would take me hunting with him and his buddies, grown men. They had shotguns, and they gave me a single-shot .22 rifle. My job was to shoot up in the squirrel's nest and make the squirrel come running out, and then they'd get him with their shotguns. That's all I knew about hunting or guns. But here I am now, and we can't go a month. We can't go hardly 6 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 weeks without hearing the news that somebody else has got a gun and went to the mall or went to work or went to the post office or went somewhere and just shot everybody, went to school and shot down everybody, shooting down little kids. Can you believe it? How is this happening? God is praying for his Christian people, and yet Satan has been allowed to be turned loose, and I'm fixing to tell you why. Revelation chapter 12, excuse me, John chapter 17 and verse number 15. Because this nation has spit in God's eye and has walked away from God. Say amen. We do not trust in God. In God we trust. No, we don't. We have more desire for anything else and everything else except God. And that which is, quote, of God is just religion where Satan dwells. Come out of her, my people. Revelation 18 and verse 4. You are sitting in the synagogue of Satan. We read that to you. Sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Our only help is Jesus saying, I have prayed for thee. Now, go with me to John chapter 17 and verse 15, and I want us to be helped, those of us that exclusively have the King James Bible. I want to help you with this verse. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer, John 17. And he says to his Father in verse number 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Well, you know, if Jesus just raptured us all to heaven, we wouldn't have this problem. He said, I'm not praying for that. I pray not that you would take them out of the world. That's not what I'm praying for. Peter, the devil is desiring to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I'm praying for you, not that the devil wouldn't be allowed to do it, but that your faith should not fail. Dear friend, are you listening? You're going to go through this time, but Jesus is going to mitigate it and make sure that the devil can't come upon you any more than what God would have, so that you might be mortified in the flesh and made more spiritual in the spiritual man. Listen, John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Period. That's what the King James Bible says. Now let me read it to you, what the New King James Bible says and what the Amplified Bible says. You ready? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. You like that? I do. And I think that's the accurate translation. Not that God would keep you from evil. We run into that every day. Dear soul, if there wasn't a devil, just my flesh is enough to give me fits. And I would have evil come to me and present to me through the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. But that's not what he's saying. First of all, God the Son, speaking by God the Holy Spirit to God the Father, says, number one, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Peter, I'm not going to pray that the devil not tempt you, but I'm going to pray that your faith would not fail when he does tempt you. It's going to be allowed, dear soul. You're going to have to go through this. But the problem is not you having trials and having these fearful things present in the world. But your problem is how we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of these things. And dear soul, I'm going to show you why these things are happening. Or that's what I'm doing now, showing you why they're happening. But I'm going to show you where you are when these things do happen and what day and age we're living in. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. Thank God for the intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Isn't that great that Jesus Christ is bearing his hands and nail prints up to the Father and says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you as an individual. I'm praying for these things, not that the devil wouldn't tempt you, but that your faith wouldn't fail when he does tempt you. Not that Satan wouldn't be able to sift you as wheat. Get that? That's what he told Peter. The devil hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He don't get to sift you as a tare. He gets to sift you as wheat. And what did they do when they sifted wheat? They threw the wheat up in the air, and these people standing on the side would blow it with these big fans that they had, and it would blow the chaff away, and the wheat was heavy, and it'd fall back down to the ground, and that's when they would scoop it up and use it to make bread out of it. God will winnow you. What does that mean? Throw you up in the air and blow air on you and blow away the chaff. And listen, the chaff grows at the same rate that the wheat does. The chaff is nourished by the same soil, by the same rain that the wheat is. But there has to come a separation. That which is born of the flesh, the chaff, is always going to be flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit, the wheat, will always be spirit. But you have to come to the place to where you understand the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you can't face the day and age that we live in the flesh. You won't make it. You'll be a bundle of nerves. You'll be scared to go to Walmart. You'll be scared to go to the post office and buy some stamps. You'll be scared to send your child to school. How can you have faith in a day like this? Because Jesus Christ said he was taking care of you and he would make sure that the devil would be mitigated. He would not be allowed to do more than what God would have him to do as far as making you a better Christian. Have you not prayed, Lord, I want to be like Jesus? Uh-oh, now you're in trouble. How are you going to be like Jesus? Well, you're going to have the flesh killed out. Who is God's agent to kill out flesh? The devil. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, 1 Peter chapter 1 says. But rejoice. I should rejoice because the devil's after me. You prayed and asked the Lord, make me like Jesus. You prayed and said, Lord, I seek my sanctification. I seek my purity. I don't want to be controlled by the energy of the flesh and by sin and temptation and lust. I want to be controlled by the Spirit. Okay. Stand still there a minute. Come here, devil. Woo! You say, that ain't what I signed on for. Dear soul, this is all there is in true Christianity. Now, all that other bunk that you get into in religion, you know, we're going to get raptured out and there ain't going to be no problems. And we're going to all go to heaven and have a big old time and we're going to hug Jesus' neck and we're going to build a mansion next door to Jesus and we're going to crown him. Satan's telling you that. That's where Satan dwells, is in religion. But dear soul, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to walk through the cross. Except you bear your cross, you cannot be my disciple. It's not easy, but it's right. It's not easy, but it's good. It's not easy, but it produces that which you will be proud of when God gets through with you. Tribulation works patience. In your patience, possess ye your souls. And patience works experience. This seems like something I've been through before. Yep, it is. How did you come out of it last time? The Lord helped me. Then the Lord will help me through this one. So tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. And experience worketh hope. It's not like I hope it don't rain tomorrow. We got a picnic planned. No. This godly hope is trusting fully and completely relying upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to take care of you because he always has. I have been tempted. God brought me through it. That was an experience that I had. This is the same kind of experience that I'm having. But how did you come out with that? I have hope that I will be all right because I came out of that. And hope maketh not ashamed. Well, I'm going through trial, but I'm not ashamed because this is the Lord bringing his people through this thing for his glory's sake. And then what will happen? The next thing says, and the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart. Give me a description of God. God is, did you say love? Yep. And what does tribulation come to do? Causes the love of God to be shed abroad in your heart. Peter, the devil has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You say, I'd like to be able to help the Lord's people. Stand still a minute and let the devil come at you. That ain't what I wanted. I don't want the devil to come after me. I thought you said you wanted to help God's people. Well, I do. Now I want to be like Jesus. Well, stand still. Here comes the devil. This is how God does it, dear soul. Listen, there's not a single child of God without a cross. And God will bring every one of them through it. They pass through the fire, and God has given them the white robes. Now, listen. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. I'm just going to go ahead and go to the end of this message. I got to thinking about this. Some of you are not going to come back for the second message, and I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. It's just a fact. And if I save this, which is the end of this thing, the end of this message, till then, you won't get it. But I've been trying to tell you that I am trying to be your friend and help you through this time that we're living in. All right. What is this time we're living in? I told you how this happening, the devil seeking to destroy whom he can. But listen, when does this happen? Revelation chapter 12, we read you verse 10. Satan, the accuser of our brethren, is cast down. Verse number 12, listen, Revelation 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens. It doesn't just mean up there where the airplanes are flying, where the moon and stars and all are. No, it's talking about the heavenlies, the people, the spiritual atmosphere, those who are redeemed. Rejoice ye heavens. You're sitting in, heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therefore rejoice ye spiritualities, ye heavenlies, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Those who are of the earth are earthy. They're of the flesh and of the sea. Now listen. For the devil is coming down unto you. Watch out for these next three words. Having great wrath. Wait a minute. Hadn't the devil always had wrath? Yeah, but when we finish this verse, you'll understand why there's greater wrath right now than there's ever been coming from the devil. 104 people dead. 104 funerals. 104 wills that needed to be read at the lawyer's office. 104 places at the table that is now empty. 104 people had to be hired to take their place on their jobs just in a month and a half. Why is this happening? Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, watch it, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Dear soul, number one, why are we having mass shootings? Because the devil has been turned loose on America. Why? Because we've turned our backs on God. What is the hope of the Christian in this time? I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You're going to make it. You're going to be all right. But I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. Then why is Satan allowed to do this? He hath now been allowed to have great wrath. Why? Because this thing is almost over and you're living in the little season. He hath but a short time. That's what the book says. He hath but a short time. And we understand and see in Revelation 20, and we went through this here a few weeks back, try to go through this chapter and help you out with this as best we could. Verse number 3, the short time. He hath but a short time. You need to cross-reference Revelation 12:12 with Revelation 12. You need to cross-reference Revelation 12:12 with Revelation 20 in verse number 3. And cast him, Christ the angel, cast Satan into the bottomless pit, and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Period. No. Semicolon. During the 1,000-year age of the gospel evangelism, Satan is bound up so that the gospel can go forth. But what about when the gospel evangelism is over? Semicolon. And after that, he must be loosed, watch it, a little season. You are now in the little season. And Satan knows he hath but a short time. Revelation 20 and verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, I can't find any preachers that believe that the day of evangelism will ever be over, much less that it already is. But it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. That's the evangelized but unregenerate masses that are still remaining on earth. And once that this has happened to them, it is impossible to renew them again. To gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, the devil and his bunch, and compassed the camp of the saints about. Yeah, he's coming after you. Listen. And the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil which deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Isn't that good? So we understand and see that the devil understands now that he has but a short time. When has his wrath been increased and hath great wrath? When he is loosed after the day of evangelism, he's going to be loosed. And dear soul, human beings are being slaughtered everywhere. And Satan hates human beings. That's the next lesson that we want to look at is Satan, how we come to understand and know and see that Satan hates human beings. Now, to prepare your heart and mind, before you start the next lesson, you need to read John 5, 39. And you need to read John 20 and verse 31. John 20 and verse 31. That the scriptures are they which testify of me, John 5, 39. These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 20, 31. So the Bible is not a handbook about anything else except Jesus Christ. But there is enough in the scriptures, and I'm, Lord willing, God helping me, I will go through the scriptures with you in our second lesson to give you understanding of how we know that Satan despises human beings and how that came to be. So you need to understand and know that. But like I say, I didn't think there would be that many that would come back for the second lesson, so I went ahead and told you when this is going to happen. Because Satan knows that he hath but a short time, he hath great wrath. Revelation 12, 12. And dear soul, he shall come forth with wrath and rage in the little season after the 1,000 years has finished. That's where we are. That's what's happening. If you don't believe that, that's all right with me. There have been a whole lot more people that have laughed at me and scoffed and rebuked me for saying that than they have that have believed it. I'm not here to debate. I'm here to declare. You have a man sent by God to give you these things. You don't want to believe it? Fine. As the old boy used to say, ain't no skin off my nose. I pray for you that you would receive it. But if you don't want to and you want to go along with all the millennialism that has been dumped on us for thousands of years, dear soul, I'm sorry for you. I pray for you. But they shall all be taught of God. Eventually, God's church is going to come to see and understand. And it may be after the saints of God and the camp of God is surrounded and the beloved city is surrounded and Satan comes to destroy the true church, and it's going to look like we're going to get swallowed up, and then bam, Christ is going to destroy him with the brightness of his coming. And nobody won't be able to say, I told you so, it'll be over with. You either believe it or you don't. I pray you would. This is why the thief cometh. Lord willing, you pray for me. I'm praying for you. We shall look at the second lesson on the next tape, next video, and we'll see why Satan hates human beings. May the Lord bless you.